I'm Brendan Greeley, sitting in for Kojo Namdi. For many, the Washington summer internship is both a rite of passage and a key to landing future jobs. You put on a blue blazer and you learn about the world. For decades, the role of the intern was almost always unpaid. That is changing now after years of pressure and a lawsuit that got all the way to the Supreme Court. Culture has been shifting. Today, we're going to take a look at how the definition of intern has changed over the last several years and what the Senate's historic move could mean for unpaid interns everywhere. That's right, the Senate is going to start paying its interns. Have you ever been an intern in the Washington area? Have you been an unpaid intern in the Washington area? Is there value in unpaid internships? And who should have access to internships? Give us a call. We're going to start with Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen. Our producer, Julie Deppenbrock, spoke to him earlier today about exactly this. He sponsored the bill that mandated that interns on the Hill, or at least in the Senate, be paid. Let's listen to the senator.
It's important for two reasons. One, these are folks who are doing valuable work in our offices, and I think it's important to provide them with some compensation for their work. Secondly, we want to make sure that these internship programs are available to all qualified and interested applicants, regardless of their family income or the ability of their family to support them during the summer. It currently excludes people who want this experience and who are qualified, but simply cannot afford to work during the summers or for other internships without pay. And that limits the pool. It makes the pool of applicants less diverse and denies opportunities to people. So we need to make sure that we're compensating these interns and making sure this opportunity is available to all qualified applicants, regardless of their family income.
Guillermo Kremer is chief of staff for the nonprofit advocacy group Pay Our Interns. He was an unpaid intern in the House of Representatives himself and in the office of the D.C. mayor. He's right here with us in the studio. We just heard from Senator Chris Van Hollen. Take a bow. This was your idea. You made this happen. Walk us through the history of, you know, where you started when you were an unpaid intern and how we got to this comment from this senator.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for having me. So Pay Our Interns has been around for about 2 years now. We started as a social media campaign and quickly evolved into a nonprofit. But essentially, you know, we knew one thing going in was that unpaid internships were wrong, one way or another, whether it was the moral aspect of it or just the fact that we were uncompensated for the work that we were doing. So we wanted to fix that.
So you knew this going in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was an unpaid intern, like you said, twice, and you know, I had times where, frankly, I called out sick because I had a babysitting gig that was going to pay, you know, $200 for the day. And I preferred to take that over the unpaid, you know, experience that I'm getting.
So you were aware of this from the start. So this this has to turn into frustration, has to turn into action somehow. How did that happen?
So I was approached by our founder, Carlos, who was also an unpaid intern and actually an unpaid intern at the White House. And he essentially was like, you know, talking to me about my experience, and he wanted to know, well, how do we fix this? And so essentially we, you know, sat down and we really got down to it, and we wanted to storytell. We wanted people to understand the struggle of being an unpaid intern. I think the reality is a lot of these offices don't understand the struggle that some of these students are going through. You know, I remember the day that I approached my supervisor and said, you know, I called out sick because I couldn't afford to come in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one thing that really strikes some people. But I think the other thing, too, is that it's just an unspoken truth. You know, a lot of people don't understand that unpaid interns, I mean, it costs on average $6,000 to $7,000 for a summer session. And so it's just, it's crazy to not pay your intern in any way.
Guihan Fernando is also right here in the studio with us, is the executive director of the Career Center right here at American University. $6,000 for the privilege of being able to give somebody your work. What does that do to somebody leaving college looking for a job?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on here and also for bringing attention to this really important topic. Guillermo and Carlos at Pay Your Interns have done really excellent work, I think, in advocating for this important issue that, as you said in your intro, gets at access and eligibility and experience that are incredibly valuable for all of our students as they're making their way into the work world. The process of getting that experience is often a gateway to getting the first job, and also on from there can help a student really think about what are the processes by which they're going to make their impact on the world. And so this is an incredibly valuable and useful experience, I think, that students have had. And I commend the Senate for having made this move so that now it'll be open to everybody. Universities like AU have put in place programs. We have a program that is for our students with the highest need who can apply mm-hmm. to get funding from the university for being able to pursue these highly competitive career-building experiences that they're going to have in the workplace. But that's not every student at every university. And so I think it's really great that there is a movement afoot to make this more universal, that this would be an opportunity yeah. that would be available to everybody.
And I mean, I also want to, you know, make my own point. I'm 43. We were just talking about this in the newsroom. It is stunning how much the work environment has changed over the last 2 decades of my own career. We were not expected to come into jobs, our first jobs, with experience. It was nice if you had it, but that has definitely changed.
Yeah, so
you cannot get a prestigious job without having gone through one of these internships. So what we're talking about, to put a fine point on it, Guillermo, is we're talking about expanding access to the potential to having a rewarding career to lots of people who don't have a lot of money. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly. I think one of the things that we forget, and employers have forgotten, is the fact that when you offer an unpaid internship, you know, a lot of the pushback that we get is we do pick the most diverse, you know, individuals that we get in the pool. However, what you forget is that when you offer an unpaid internship, you have closed the gate to so many countless students who just cannot afford to put themselves through that experience. And then at that point, you are barring individuals who are, you know, have so much potential, but are on such heavy financial aid mm-hmm. that they wouldn't be able to do this. And so you're not diversifying the system here.
Yeah. And diversification, I think, I can only speak to the experience of being in a newsroom, but it's not just a box to check. It actually improves your coverage.
Right, absolutely.
If you have people in the room who are different from you,
absolutely.
You cover things differently, you think about things differently.
And to elaborate on that, you know, the reason why we wanted to go with Congress first was because we realized how much of a beast it is. And the reality is that with Congress, unpaid interns will then become staffers, and staffers will then help with legislation. So if you don't have that intern who has that experience yeah. of being poor or of being from certain areas, then you don't have the correct people in the room.
Yeah, we're talking about making the nation's laws.
Exactly.
Well, let me go out to Caroline in Sterling, Virginia. Caroline, have you been an unpaid intern?
I have been an unpaid intern 3 times.
I'm sorry, it's not funny at all, but it's so it speaks to the truth of what we're talking about today.
So it's unfortunate just because, especially with student loans, and I know a lot of the student loan programs don't pay for school during the summer months. And so even though my family made too much to qualify for additional help, you know, my parents can't afford hundreds of thousands of dollars to help me pay for education. So here I am with, you know, doing 3 unpaid internships, doing everything I can to try to get into the political world, taking on all this debt, which I'm, you know, I'll be burdened with for the next 20 years of my life. So it's tough. And then in the end, you're not promised a job. So I unfortunately kind of graduated around 2008 as well. So not only did I, you know, have a ton of debt, it's like, oh, thanks for your free labor, but we can't hire you. So, you know, in the end, it's all this work, all these students are, you know, and you don't really have a choice, because that's kind of like you're saying, you need that experience to get in, but you're not even promised getting in.
That's exactly right. I just want to talk to people who are, you know, well into their careers. It's hard to explain how different things are and how important it is in having that internship to open up the door to a career. I want to read an email we got. It's beautifully constructed. It's like a short story from Kathy. Many years ago, I interned at the Kennedy Center. I was paid a few pennies, had to fight the traffic from Annandale, where I live with my parents, because of the low intern pay, and was generally treated like trash by most everyone in the office. I used to, quote, run away from my office and hide out with the tourists on the terrace. And I'd look out and see people at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday rowing on the river or jogging, and I thought, whatever job they have, I want that job. So I quit the internship halfway through, moved on, eventually becoming a college athletic coach. I think that's important in all sorts of industries, in news, in politics, but also in the arts. That is something that you encounter. People who have access to funding from the arts often have to, you know, show up, you know, with funding from their own parents. But I want to go back to what we just heard from Caroline. Gihan Fernando, you know, you're with the Career Center at American University. Talk a little bit about the burden of debt and how that affects your career choices leaving.
Yeah, obviously, university, many students are going to come out with significant debt, right? Understanding that that is an issue and understanding the great importance for having career building experiences while you're in university, particularly these days, as you were saying, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago. We are really trying to view experiential education broadly in a variety of categories that will allow students of all income levels, of all debt-bearing levels, to have these experiences in a variety of different ways. So those could be paid internships would be the obvious, you know, and immediate experience that we would want to support. There are others, as I mentioned earlier, the Eagle Internship Fund at AU will support students with high need to be able to take these unpaid internships until such time as organizations like Guillermo's are able to advocate collectively to so that there are no more unpaid internships out there. But also the learning that comes from experiences both on campus and off can be ways in which students would develop their experience. So those could be for credit or not for credit. Mm-hmm. And I also want to remind the listeners and all of us that the legal definition of an internship is not that scut work that I think your email respondent mentioned, where it is just you're really not getting anything out of it. The legal definition of an internship is that it is an experience that is primarily for the benefit of the intern, not for the employer, right? So at AU, we have for our academic internships, those internships that are credit-bearing, there are a variety of academic regulations that mean that we are going to basically make sure that the student is getting a very positive work experience that is constructed in a supervised way. So a faculty member will be supervising the internship. The student will get an experience that is at least 85% substantive, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding that every job will have some work that is administrative in nature, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so if we are finding that an employer is with regularity not meeting those requirements, we are not going to assist them in obtaining interns from American University. And I would say that this is not uncommon at universities across the country.
And it does seem like, you know, one thing that we're experiencing right now is the thing that we used to call an internship has become an apprenticeship, right? Where you learn a trade in return for your labor. But apprentices were paid. They were paid starting in the Middle Ages, right? So because we don't really have the concept of apprenticeship here in the U.S., it's almost like we don't know legally what to do with this thing that internships have become.
Yeah, so I would agree in part with that. I don't think that that's the full extent of the story. Mm-hmm. So at universities like AU, where over 90% of the students are interning without by the time they graduate, over 90% of our graduates intern at least once,
okay.
Right?
Wow.
And 85% plus have typically had more than one internship.
See, this is amazing. And it's changed so much.
Right.
I graduated from college in 1997, and I only interned shucking oysters.
Right.
Right? This is really, right. It's a different world.
Right. And that is without having very, very few majors at AU have internship requirements. So that is the culture that we have of an experience that students are going to take on, right? And that it's one that is supported and encouraged at the university and is part of our core belief of how students learn. And so particularly in their more junior years when they're, mm-hmm. you know, let's say a sophomore and taking on their first internship, students are not only then doing a career building, you know, they're not mm-hmm. getting that job that is then going to immediately lead to their first job out of school. But they're learning about How did they tick, right? What are the things that charged them up? They're building a network of professional mentors, potentially,
right,
or people who can help them down the road. They're also learning about what they don't like, which is going to be valuable, I think, in the longer term. And whether paid or unpaid, I think those are all valuable lessons that they can gain from those experiences.
Guillermo Kremer is here with us in the studio as well. He's been furiously taking notes, and you're also one of the people who moved this mountain now that the Senate is, in fact, paying its interns. I want to talk to you in just a second, but first, let's hear from Senator Chris Van Hollen. Our producer, Julie Deppenbrock, talked to him earlier today about exactly this, the Senate now paying its interns.
An internship on Capitol Hill is often a gateway to a later job on Capitol Hill. So by expanding the pool of folks who can actually have these positions, we're also expanding opportunities down the road.
We also have a tweet from David jumping right on that. David says, I moved to D.C. to intern for a senator. Luckily, I had a relative to stay with. I was only able to serve for 3 months due to financial constraints and having no health care coverage. This was ironic, given my senator was a proponent of single-payer health care. Guillermo, you have the floor.
Yeah, so I think one of the things I want to do is I want to take what we just talked about and split it into two. One, I commend universities and institutions that have these funds to allow interns to be paid through them. What I like to consider that is the third-party system. You know, you are using these universities to kind of give you the gateway to pay the interns.
Mm-hmm.
One of the approaches we had is that we want offices and organizations to understand the importance of them paying their interns. You know, specifically, we released a congressional report last year where the title is very self-explanatory. Experience doesn't pay the bills. That's just the reality mm-hmm. of it. So if you are excited that your internship is giving you this amazing experience, that's great, but I have to pay my bills. I can't go to my landlord and say, I'm going to pay you an experience. It doesn't work that way. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, and this is where I think, you know, we really have a different view on this four credit system. To me, it's a double negative. The reality is when you are interning for credit, you are paying for that credit. And so as a student who is on high financial aid, why should I, you know, find the financial means to be an unpaid intern? And on top of that, I'm still taking out my student loans to get the four credit aspect.
Well, hold the floor for just a second. I want to hear from you again on this. But, you know, we've got this email right now from Rachel. She writes, as a rising senior in college, she's talking about exactly what you're talking about. I'm currently working in my fourth unpaid internship. Again, for me, this is unrecognizable from my own college experience. Every winter, Rachel writes, I apply for no fewer than 20 to 30 summer internships. Guillermo is nodding because this is not normal to me, but it's normal to you and
it's
completely
totally
comprehensible.
Normal, yeah.
And Rachel writes, I have found both the paid and unpaid positions to be competitive. All of my unpaid internships offered some sort of a perk, like a college credit, a transportation stipend, limited paid administrative work, free t-shirts. Still, it's frustrating to know I'm not getting financially compensated for my hard work at all of these organizations. T-shirts don't pay the bills, Guillermo.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we need people to understand the difference between an internship and a volunteer position. You know, I think I want organizations and offices to understand there's a difference there. You know, you really should compensate your interns. And it's not just for the good out of your heart, but it's so that you allow all students from all different backgrounds, races, and wherever they come from, the ability to take these opportunities. I mean, let's be honest. Let's go on the Hill and look at these interns. A lot of these interns are coming from Ivy Leagues. They're not coming from universities all over the country. They're not coming from the constituents, you know. And so when you offer paid internships and you're in office in Florida, for example, you're offering Floridians that, you know, yeah. That's how we talk to offices. You are giving your constituents the chance to intern for you.
100%. The definition of diversity on Wall Street is we hire lacrosse players from Princeton and Penn.
Right. And it's time to change that.
It is time to change that. It 100% is. I started a paid internship program at a magazine I worked for about 10 years ago. And we really did it because it was the only way we could get the quality that we needed to help us do the work. But it was so rare, even at the time, that, we started it in conjunction with the Columbia Journalism School. And the woman who ran the career services program at Columbia was so excited about this. She gave me a present when my twins were born, right? This was so, right? So, but again, for us, it was that we needed people to be able to do the work and we had to pay them to do that work. Let me go out to the phones. Kevin in Southern Maryland, you're an employer. Jump in here.
Yeah, actually, you guys are all on target for a lot of these topics. And one of the reasons why Southern Maryland was a great choice for our cybersecurity company is organizations like the Tri-County Council They actually have a paid internship program that puts people to work with our company. They pay them for a few weeks. It's not, I mean, we're not talking competitive wage for 5+ years of experience, but it pays them enough to keep them employed with a paycheck to give us an opportunity to get them spun up, get them in that particular economic sector, and let them see both the business aspect and the technical aspect of these trade fields, because cybersecurity, computers, other technical fields, we know that there's a shortage. I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of shortages of workers. We've got to get people in these positions. And there's a cooperative commitment there that, as an employer, we even pay our volunteers that come in when we can, and we pay for their certifications because we're investing in them. And the trade-off to us isn't a negative, because with an organization like the Tri-County Council, they're coming back and saying, hey, we can send you people to put them to work so that when these targeted groups, we go after specifically recent college grads, disabled veterans, adults on the autism spectrum. These are people in a wide area, in a holistic segment of the population almost, that they don't have the traditional opportunities. I was a volunteer, more like a voluntold, for my family business, you know, 30 years ago, where I learned business rules and business ethics and things like that, and how to work accounting and taxes. But I had that opportunity because my family owned a business. Not everybody has that opportunity. So if you expect them to enter into the workforce, it's critical that they have a paid internship so that they're not setting themselves up for failure with these financial burdens.
Exactly. Okay, Kevin, thank you so much. Guillermo, we're running out of time, but I want to give you the last word here. We got about 30 seconds. What's next? You move this mountain in the Senate. What happens next?
I think we're going to, you know, head towards the House, and we're going to continue. You know, I think we need to – Kevin got it exactly right. You know, we need to invest in diversity. We need to invest in young adults, and that's what we're going to do, and that's why we're going to make sure that organizations, you know, nonprofits and other government offices understand the importance of paying their interns.
All right, Guillermo Creamer, Chief of Staff for the Nonprofit Advocacy Group Pay Our Interns. Ihan Fernando, the Executive Director of the Career Center at American University. Thank you both very much. Great calls today as well. That's it for today. Catch our conversations on demand by subscribing to our show wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Brendan Greeley, sitting in for Kojo Namdi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Angelisa Schrobstorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, Diana Mostak, Julie Deppenbrock, and Gabriella Martinez. Our engineer is Meg Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.